Pastor David is on an Emmaus weekend. We're very happy this morning then to have the Reverend Phyllis Carpenter filling in for David. Phyllis has been with us before during our Ash Wednesday service, and we're just really thankful to have her here to fill in. There will be a new Bible study starting on Wednesday, and I can tell you personally, I found the Bible study to be a tremendous blessing. So if you're at all able to come out, I'll tell you a secret, I come from fellowship. It's just so nice during the week to have that reminder of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's hard for me, I don't always have time to read the study, but nonetheless, I get a tremendous amount out of it. So I encourage you all to come if you need more information. Carolyn in the office can give that to you. It's with great sadness this morning that I do announce that Joe Gettings passed away. There will be a memorial service Monday and then a reception to follow. So Monday at 4 p.m. Here in the church. This is Announcement Sunday. So for good news, I've got to ask Selber, who is the chair of our staff parish, relations to come forward, please, and to make the announcement for this announcement Sunday.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good
morning. Well, today's announcement Sunday, and as leader for staff parish relations committee, I'm pleased to announce that Pastor David Branson has been reappointed for another year with us. His continuing leadership and spiritual guidance will always be a source of inspiration. May God continue to bless him to be able to come to her.
Christians, join to sing.
In truth, sometimes we struggle to kindle the flame in our hearts, but we know that you're faithful and able to light that flame in us. Father, today, open our ears, open our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
The scripture today that we take these songs from, the first comes from Nehemiah chapter 9, and this is what the author said. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve them all. The host of heavens worships you. And from Psalm 18:2, we sing, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer.
Predicted and had prophesied that Jesus was coming and that he was the Messiah. they got to be to their home, which they got to right about here where their home is, and Jesus started to walk away. They didn't know who this was yet, though, but the stranger started to walk away. They said, wait a minute, hold on there, sir. Would you like to come inside with us? It's late at night. Okay, so they all go inside, and they sit down to eat. And guess what? Hi! And they sit down to eat. Yeah, we got two of them, right? Sorry, I didn't see you out there. And then we have a loaf of bread. And Jesus takes the loaf of bread, blesses it, gives thanks, breaks it, and they all go, aha, now I know who you are. They recognize that it was Jesus there with them because it reminded them of what? What was that? When they took the bread and blessed, what does that remind you of? The communion or the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, exactly. That's right. So it reminded them this was Jesus. So now they're seeing Jesus who was resurrected. How do you think they feel about that? Pretty darn good, happy, don't they? Yeah. Right after Jesus did that, watch this closely, he disappeared. Or rolled away. I'm not sure what he went there. This is why he disappeared. And now these two are sitting there and they're saying, oh my goodness, isn't this wonderful news? And it dawned on them at that time that they need to go back to Jerusalem that night and tell all of the people what they just saw. Okay, before you do that, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the stories that you give us. I thank you for the youth and their willingness and energy that they have. Because God, we love you and we know you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. So run back to Jerusalem and tell them that Jesus is risen. Tell them all the way there, all three of you, Jesus is risen. I don't hear you. Jesus is risen. Thank you for being good sports about that. I greatly appreciate it. I knew you guys would do well when I thought about that one. The prayer concerns and joys that we have this morning, I have a few of them in front of me that Rebecca has arrived in Columbia safely, and they celebrated their fourth anniversary. That's a great joy. There's a young grandson who was in an accident, so please keep him in your prayers. Someone is married with pancreatic cancer. Please keep her in your prayers. And I should have brought my glasses with me. I apologize. So we have our prayer concerns before us. I'm going to take those prayers because God knows our hearts. God hears our prayers even if we don't speak them. So I will place them on the altar and we'll have them in our hearts and in our minds. As we go to God in prayer this morning, let's take a deep breath. Breathing in the presence of God. Breathing out those negative thoughts and feelings. Let's turn to God in prayer. Good morning, God. What a joy it is to be here this morning with you. And a personal joy it is for me to be here at Lakeside, for a community that is so open and so loving. Thank you for the ministry they do in welcoming others. Thank you, God, for the blessings you have given us. Sometimes we go through life and all we can think about is what we need or what we want or what we're suffering from. But hear us now as we silently give praise and thanks for those blessings you've given us. Those who have lost a loved one. and especially Nancy and her family. We thank you for the love that you've given us that we can extend to others. We thank you for meeting us on our roads, on our journeys, no matter where we are, no matter what has happened, no matter who we are. The resurrected Jesus is present with us. Help us to recognize Jesus. And then to be Jesus' hands and feet for others. We ask, Lord, that you bring Pastor David back to us safely as he's on his weekend, the Emmaus weekend. That you touch him and touch those that he's speaking with. But bring him and Nancy back to his flock safely. Thank you, God, for church. Thank you for being there. Thank you for meeting us, even though we don't recognize you at times. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
to all in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Went to the tomb and
just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. A man went to a house to rob it and was startled. I'm on this mic, aren't I?
Okay.
A man went to a house to rob it and was startled because he heard someone say, "Jesus is watching you." And he froze, and he's like, "Uh-oh, what was that?" Next thing you know, he heard it again. "Squawk, Jesus is watching you." At which point, he realized there was a parrot in the house. So he saw the parrot over in the corner, and he walked over to the parrot's cage and said, "Oh my, are you talking to me? Squawk, yes, Jesus is watching you." And he looks at the parrot, and he says, "What's your name?" And the parrot says, "Squawk, Moses." What kind of person would name their parrot Moses? Squawk, the same person who named their pit bull Jesus. My friends, Jesus is watching us, not in an evil kind of way, though, but Jesus is watching over us. Every step of our journey, everywhere we go, Jesus is there to meet us. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Think about it. There they are, two disciples. Not two apostles, but two disciples. They're exhausted and discouraged. The girl did a good job walking up discouraged with their heads down, didn't they? Exhausted and discouraged because they trudged the 7 miles from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus. We're not sure why they left the other group. That doesn't make any sense, but they left the other group, maybe because they were disheartened. Perhaps it's because they had lost hope. In verse 21, "But we had hoped." You see, they had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah who came to redeem them. That Jesus would redeem them from the Romans, redeem them from suffering, redeem them from all the pain that was caused by the Romans. They thought Jesus was going to redeem them from their situation in life, and they wouldn't have any pain in their life anymore. Jesus did come to redeem them, but he came to redeem them from sin and death. It's the big picture, friends, the big picture. Well, as they were walking that 7 mile journey, a stranger comes beside them. And the stranger we know is Jesus. But they are kept from recognizing him. And I find that to be very interesting. They're kept, it's not that they don't recognize him, but they're kept from recognizing him. And I'm wondering, what's going on with that? We have to think about Luke as the writer. Maybe he's trying to engage his community somehow. The reader, that would be us. And trying to say, you know what? Jesus is still there, even if we don't recognize him. Sometimes we go with our feelings, and we're feeling so down, and we're feeling so hopeless. We don't feel like Jesus is there. But my friends, Jesus is there, even if we don't recognize it.
Amen.
And Jesus meets them on the way. He doesn't come to wait for them at their house. He doesn't bid them make some holy pilgrimage somewhere or undertake some kind of pious feat. He meets them where they are, on the road, amid their journey, right smack in the middle of their pain, frustration, despondency that threatens and overwhelms them, even though they don't recognize him. And notice what takes place. He opens the scriptures to them, helping them make sense of what had happened and these recent events in the light of God's work. The light of God's redemptive work in and through the cross. I read once that a person was asked what the major difference was between Christianity and other world religions. Now, many great scholars have given valuable answers to that question. But as this person pondered, something dawned on him. You see, about 500 years before Jesus was born, a man popped up in history who we know as Buddha. Now, Buddha developed a following, a powerful teaching that changed his life and the lives of others. A lot of people gathered around this man, and they liked what he taught. And then as a result, a major religion developed around this man and his teachings. About 500 years after the birth of Christ, another man came along named Muhammad. Muhammad developed a powerful teaching that changed his life and lives of others. A lot of people gathered around this man, and they liked what he taught. And as a result, a major religion developed around this man and his teachings. And yet, nobody had predicted that a man like Buddha was going to come along and live like he lived and teach like he taught and die like he died. And nobody predicted that a man like Muhammad was going to come along and live like he lived, and teach like he taught, and die like he died. But thousands of years before Jesus was born, we read in the Old Testament of those prophets who said, the Messiah is coming, Jesus Christ is coming. And when he comes, he's going to do this, and he's going to do that, and this is how he's going to teach, and he's going to love all, and this is how he's going to die, and he's going to be resurrected 3 days after he dies. Jesus opened those scriptures to Cleopas and the other disciple right there on that road to Emmaus. Talked about all the prophets and what they had declared. And in verse 26, was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Jesus told the whole story of the Old Testament, leading up to the death and resurrection of himself. And in the middle of that journey of hopelessness, Jesus met them and opened the scriptures to them. And it says in the story later, in verse 32, they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? How often in our lives we go through some kind of traumatic event, whether somebody has died, whether somebody has been diagnosed with some kind of illness, whether we lost a job, and we thought we were going through this alone, but it wasn't until afterwards that we looked back and said, only by the grace of God did I make it through. Remember the story about the footprints? And on the sand, and how at one point there was only one pair of footprints because God carried you through.
Amen.
A year ago, my husband of 31 years left. Quite a shock for me. Quite a shock for my girls, for our son, for our families. You see, he was finished with our marriage. 31 years, he was finished. He was done. He was out of there. Talk about devastated. Talk about being frozen in fear. What do I do? I couldn't function. I didn't know what was going to happen. I never would have thought that that would have happened. I thought we were going to be together. We were talked about growing old together and shared all those stories. I thought we had a good marriage. That's what I thought. I stand here and tell you with complete confidence and faith that the only way we have begun to put our life back together is because Jesus met us on that road, my friends.
Amen.
Jesus met us on that road and has brought us here.
Amen.
Jesus didn't take away the situation. Sure, we prayed for him to come back, for his dad to come back to us. Jesus didn't take that away or fix that, but Jesus walked with us every step of the way. Jesus met us when we cried. Jesus met us when we read scripture together. Jesus met us when we loved on each other, when we ate together. Jesus was with us every step of the way. Through scripture, through prayer, through friends, through the church community, through family, through loved ones, Jesus was present with us. And Jesus was there telling us, everything is going to be okay.
Amen. Amen.
And this is the message for us all. Jesus said, I didn't come to take the road away. I came to walk with you. I'm going to walk with you until we're home. In the meantime, open the Word. Read the Bible so that your eyes can be opened and your heart warmed. And this is the story about how God loves you so much that God will meet you on your journey and how God goes to extravagant means to do that. And the story continues. So next we have the two companions inviting Jesus to dine with them. I love having the youth act that out because I can just picture the story now. Maybe I'm such a visual person, but I can picture them walking. They got here and they invited Jesus in to dine with them. And when he blessed the bread and broke it, they went, I know who you are. In the breaking of the bread. We do that. We do that in communion. We bless and break the bread. We know that Jesus is present. We know that Jesus is there. It's the resurrected Jesus. So through the interpretation of Scripture and the sharing of the meal, the eyes of the disciples are opened and they recognize not just the person of Jesus, but the presence of the Lord, the God whose powerful world called light from darkness and gives life to the dead. And then he was gone. They know they need to be gone too, so they get up. And even though it's evening time and it's dangerous, they travel back to Jerusalem because they can't help it. They just can't keep that good news in. They have to share that good news.
Amen.
Doesn't that whole story remind you kind of worship? You know, they gather together. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus is present with them. Gathered in his name, there's Jesus, and Jesus showed up with the two or three that are gathered in his name. They walk along, they learn about the Word of God. We come to worship, we gather together. We learn about the Word of God. Through the meal that they share together, sometimes it's the meal that we have in worship, sometimes it might be afterwards when we have some sort of coffee hour. Jesus is present there. And after we recognize Jesus and we know that the Spirit is upon us, what do? We go into the world because we can't contain that excitement any longer. We have to share the good news. So it's our job, my friends, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, to go into the world to share the love that he has for us, to share with others in the community so that they know too that Jesus is there for them. This is the church community, the place where Jesus meets us. In our lives, everyday lives, Jesus meets us there too. Our hearts are warmed by Scripture. When we eat together, we receive the peace and the Spirit. It opens our eyes to be able to recognize Jesus. And then we go forth and we share the good news with everyone we meet on our journeys. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this story of Emmaus. We thank you for being able to recognize Jesus. midst of the community of the church. Sometimes our feelings overwhelm us, and we keep our heads down, and we forget to look up, and we forget to see that Jesus is present with us. Open our eyes, just as the hymn said, open our eyes and illumine us, our hearts, that we are able to recognize Jesus. Send your spirit upon these people who have gathered, that as a church we can go into this world and declare to all that Christ is risen, our Savior is alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
People enjoying and singing the last hymn, where he leads me, I go.
Thank you.
friends, wherever you are, whoever you are, for God loves you. Go now in the name of God, who is love, in the name of Jesus, who came and showed us what that love was all about, and with the presence of the Holy Spirit, enabling you to go out and love others. Amen.
Amen.
Help me, or you don't feel like helping me.